It's a great pleasure, as we've been telling you right through the week, to welcome into the studio this morning Mick Donis on behalf of Rotary. Good morning to you, Mick.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff.
Great of you to come on board, but like most voluntary organisations, and our organisation is no different, we're always looking for like-minded people to come along and help us out. Tell our listeners who might not know, I doubt that there's many, but what does Rotary actually do, Mick?
Well, Rotary was formed in the US many, many years ago, back around 1930, just after the Depression in the US, basically by Paul Fellows. That's called a Paul Fellow membership. They run a they started it up as a businessman's club, basically.
Right.
And they came out with some ideas that after the Depression to assist people, and they were business people, and that's what they did. So, and that's flowed on to, so that there's now about 1.5 billion or 1.5 million, I think, members worldwide. And so Rotary, like every organisation, lives and dies by its membership.
Absolutely.
And I'm in the Rotary Club of Adderdale, and the irony is that I joined Rotary in Adderdale when I had a business up in Melville at Stammer's Supermarket.
Right.
And I had a travel agency up there along with my sister.
Right.
And one of the fellows who used to come along was a guy called John Bray. And John was a guy that I used to contract to in earthmoving.
Right.
And John had come up the shopping centre and he'd see me and say, you know, come and join Rotary. And I'd say, oh, mate, you know, bunch of old farts, you know, they're all... You know, why would I want to join Rotary? And he said, look, they're a great bunch of people, you know, come along. And he kept at me and kept at me, and I said, no, no, no. And one day he came in, he said, we've got the Crab Day on this coming weekend. What about coming down? Well, he hit the magic word because I love crabs.
Right.
And I've been crabbing since I was about 5 years old, when the old man used to take me down to Mandurah.
Yeah.
And so I said, yeah, all right, I'll come to the Crab Day, thinking there might be, you know, a couple of people and a few crabs.
Yeah.
And I went down there, and there was about 30-odd people.
Right.
And there was 100-odd crabs. So, and that was really good. And after the Crab Day, he said, so what did you think? And I said, yeah, well, I must have say I enjoyed that. That was very nice. He said, well, how about coming to a meeting? Oh, John, you know, now you're pushing your luck.
Yeah.
You know? He said, well, look, you know, you were in Apex. And I said, yeah, I was in Apex for as a young men's service club. And I said, I got sucked into that by my brother-in-law. And he said, well, look, come along and just meet these people again in a social setting. And so I said, all right, I'll come. So I went, and I've been there ever since.
Sure.
Because you meet wonderful people.
Yeah.
And but like, as I said, all clubs live and die on their membership, especially service clubs. And so we in the Adderdale Rotary Club are seeking members, like as are all the clubs in this area, which is Melville, Applecross, Fremantle, Booragoon. Everyone's looking for new members.
Of course.
And our target market is basically the older brigade, those that have retired recently or are about to retire or have been retired for a while and are looking for something to get their teeth into, because Rotary gives you the opportunity to get involved in a wide range of various things, including organising things for our young people. And we all say that the youth of today are the members of tomorrow, and we want to make sure that they get a good start in life, and we try to assist in Rotary wherever we can.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Let's do this. I'm 72. Proudly. Why should I?
Join Rotary.
Why should I, Jeff Smith, come and join Rotary?
Okay, well, I'm 76.
We both look good for our age too.
I reckon we do. I tell everybody I'm only 44.
Yeah, well done.
And I joined Rotary for two reasons. In the finish, it was one, they had some wonderful service projects on that I, and as a former member of Apex, I like the ideal of service. And that was the first ideal.
That's a key, isn't it?
Yeah, the ideal of service is the basis of all enterprise.
Yes.
So I enjoyed that. That was the sort of lead-in for me. And they had projects that they were running. And so I wanted to go along and see what they were doing. And as I say, you get involved in things like music in the air, which I'd like to talk about later.
Yep.
And a variety of things, particularly for the younger ones, because we run a program, or Rotary runs a program called RILA, which is the Rotary Youth Leadership Awards.
Right.
And so we know where we're at. We're in our 70s, 60s and 70s, and we've had a great life and we're leading a good life, and a lot of retirees are now enjoying those, what they call the golden years.
Yes.
But they also lack, in some instances, what I would say, the fellowship and the friendship. And if they've had a partner pass away or whatever, people are sitting there wondering, what do I do with the rest of my day?
Yeah.
And Rotary and the projects we get involved in give them a great avenue to put that energy that they have to good use.
So there is a wrap your arms around everybody within Rotary. It's a family?
Well, there is, in terms of family, very much so. Apex, in my younger days, when I was in Apex, it was a men's service club. There weren't women allowed.
Right.
Which was, it was a boys' club, basically. But now Rotary is, Apex has changed. Now they allow women in.
Right.
And Rotary has been seeking women for many, many years, because women, we find, are some of the glue that holds clubs together.
Yes. Yeah.
They are great organisers. They're great socialisers.
Yes.
And so we chase not only men, we chase... that's a bit of a...
You're right.
A bit of a term. We chase the women as well.
We've been doing it all our lives, let's be honest.
Yeah, we've always had an eye out for the women. But
absolutely,
we think that women are great for Rotary.
Yeah.
Whether they're the wives of the members or they come in their own right and we then get to meet their husbands, etc. That women are great members of Rotary because they're great organisers.
Yes.
And that's what we look for. So what we're doing as Rotarians is we're basically looking for the young oldies, if you want me to give it a term, the young oldies.
Yep.
And you're 72, you'd fit right into our demographic.
Right.
Because two things. One, you still think you've got something left upstairs that you can contribute. You've got the enthusiasm to contribute to a cause. And I'll give you an idea, Jeff, of some of the causes that we do get involved in.
Would you? Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay, well, we run a golf day down at the Royal Fremantle Golf Club, because we actually meet, the Adelaide Rotary Club meet at the Fremantle Golf Club every Wednesday.
What a nice place to be.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. And one of our club members was the former sort of captain of the club, and he gets interested in organising the golf day.
Yeah, sure.
So this is a professional golf day where the only professionals are the people that we invite along, who are company directors, etc., and all that.
Yeah.
And we get them there. Well, this year there was a total of 52,000 raised.
Wow.
Now, Rotary doesn't keep any money it raises.
No.
All that money goes. So we raised 52,000 between the Fremantle Rotary Club and the Adelaide Rotary Club.
Right.
Now, half of that, $26,000, was given to Fremantle, obviously, and they gave it away to the Perkins Foundation.
Oh, great, yeah.
Which is a great organisation. They employ about 200 people in research. Well, that money goes towards them. Our 26,000 out of the 52 went to motor neurone disease.
Did it right.
So, and these are things that affect a lot of people in our society. And if you've got good health, and you know, you don't just take it for granted anymore. You know that there's a lot of people out there hurting.
Absolutely.
And that money gets raised towards those particular projects.
Yes.
And that's what we do. But we get involved in that. We run the National Youth Science Forum for two 11-year-olds. It's a fund for year 11 students
okay.
to attend. We run a camp called RILA, which is the Rotary Youth Leadership Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get they get a whole heap of professionals to assist the kids in a camp. But a lot of them, it's hard to explain, but they a lot of kids in today's society is too busy sitting there playing with their iPads.
Yep.
And don't realise that there's another world out there, and that world is friendship, so they get to meet a whole heap of other yep. kids in the same age demographic. We have people like from the SAS that come along and teach them how to climb rope ladders or walk on a rope thing
right.
and do exercises with them that requires not only assistance, but they've got to help each other.
Yeah.
And so that's something that Rotary organises every
year.
That's
a communication thing, isn't it?
Oh.
You know, the kids today, in my opinion, I'm tied up with a primary school. They can't, don't, won't communicate.
No, they don't talk to each other.
No.
All of a sudden you get these kids out on a camp where they've got to talk to each other.
Yep.
They've got to rely on each other. They organise events for them that they have to communicate with each other. And they more or less have a competition between our little group and your little group,
yep.
and they've got to work together.
Yep.
And these kids come away, and they come back to Rotary, and we say, well, all right, what did you learn? They said, we had the most fabulous time because they've actually got to talk to other kids and listen to them,
yes.
hear their story, and empathise with them.
I think one of the problems with young ones, we don't want to get too much off the track here, but they don't, because they don't communicate, they don't understand that the feelings that they have about whatever are exactly the same as the bloke who's next door to them.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, we were lucky. We came up in a generation where we didn't have
yep.
all these tablets and mobile phones where you see them walking down the street and they
yep.
have no idea that there's
walking
somebody
into
walking.
Yeah,
yep. walking into lampposts. So we come up. We were lucky to have come up in an era where people did communicate.
Yes.
And so that's one of the things we try to give to these kids.
Yes.
That it's not a world of isolation. It's a world of cooperative communication, if you like.
Absolutely.
So, but we've, one of our ladies in our club got is heavily involved in a project called Love in a Shoebox.
Right.
And we raise that every year, every Christmas. We all organise shoeboxes for everybody,
okay.
and you fill it full of gifts.
Yep.
And they get handed out then to all the kids that are in deprived circumstances and so forth. Another one we've got is a shelter box. Right. You've heard of shelter box?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, shelter boxes, if there was a disaster somewhere, what's the first thing that people need? So 20 Rotarians in England about 25 years ago decided that they would put together some kits. And so they built a kit with a tarpaulin, with a hoe, with a shovel, with a hammer, with some nails, and a little
survival kit.
A survival kit, yeah. And they put it, and they made 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if there was a disaster in, you know, North Africa or wherever,
yeah.
they would shoot these
They're
out
ready to go,
and
yeah.
see how they went. And it's been refined over time. Mm-hmm. And in the last sort of 25 years, there are now something like 60,000 of these kits
wow.
strung around the world.
Yeah.
In the Philippines, there's three areas that they've got kits in each one. I think there's about 20,000 just in the Philippines alone because they have disasters on all the time.
They do, don't they?
And these kits are made. So it's grown from 20 kits in the UK to 60,000 at any stage around the world. Well, Helen Cowardine is the lady who was involved in it. Helen, she recently did a walk to raise funds and raise $9,000 towards Shelter Box. And that's the sort of thing that people get involved in. And again, it's a fellowship thing. She went with another Rotarian lady from another club from up at Swan, Upper Swan.
Right.
And they have a ball doing the walk. So it's, again, communicating with a friend and raising money in the same time for a worthwhile cause.
Mick, there will be people listening now who will, at some time in the past, thought about a service club, and we're talking Rotary, but there are others. What do they need to do now to inform themselves better and find out in their own mind as to whether they're suited to what Rotary wants.
Well, we'd like to invite them, if they've got the time and the inclination, to come to Royal Fremantle Golf Club on a Wednesday night. We start a meeting at 6,
right,
between 6 and 6.30 is fellowship. And the one thing that Rotary is very good at is fellowship.
Right.
And whether you're a single woman or a single man or a married couple, one or both would be welcome to come along.
Right.
Because you'll get to meet people, if you like, of similar mindset.
Yeah.
And those people have got a little quirk in them that says, I'd like to give back to society. I've done pretty well in life. You know, I've got to this stage and I'm still here.
Yes.
I'd like to do something, I don't know what.
Yeah.
So we'd like to get you to come along and listen to, sometimes it's a guest speaker.
Yes.
And for example, our last guest speaker was a doctor from from UWA, who spoke about the Mary Frame book that she was promoting.
Yes.
And the story of Mary Frame. Now, I never knew about Mary Frame.
Yeah.
Had no idea who she was. And Frayne Square up in Perth is named after her.
Is it right?
And here's a woman who came out, who was born in 1880, came out here in 1900, and made an absolute fortune, if you like, by mistake.
Yep.
And she wasn't a Rotarian, but she gave all her money to the UWA when she retired. She was, you've got to take your hat off to her. She and her sister came out and arrived in Australia in 1900 with £100.
Wow.
And they worked in a pub up in Ningen in New South Wales for £1.10 a week. And out of that, she saved £1.07.
Wow.
So they lived on £2.06 a week.
Yeah.
And her sister and her, after 2 years in those days, they wanted to run the pub, and the rules were that unless you were a married woman, you couldn't run a pub. You could work in one, but you couldn't run one.
Right.
So her and her sister decided, well, up yours, we're off.
Yeah.
We're going back to England.
Wow.
So after 2 years, they got on a ship, started to sail back to England, hit the bite. Her sister got very seasick, and the doctor suggested they get off in Fremantle. They did. And then they found a job up in Perth, and they had their £200-odd at that stage, which was enough to buy a house, which they did. And she worked her way, she kept working, and bought another house, and in the end, Mary Frame owned 10 hotels, and she owned the Windsor in South Perth, she owned the Wentworth, she owned the Canterbury, she owned the Bullfinch Pub. She was just an amazing woman. And she turned around and left all her money after she was actually childless. She didn't have any children.
Right.
And she left all her money to UWA on the proviso that it was used to research the diseases and conditions that affect all human beings.
Right.
And so that now raises $3 million a year in funds that get distributed out to various professors, etc., who are trying to improve the lives of all of us here, in not only in Western Australia but all over the world. And some of those are people like Lynn Beasley, Fiona Wood, and so forth. All of those have had benefits from that. And their stories that this lady came along and told us about, and I had no idea who Mary Frame was.
Now
I do.
Yeah. So those details at the Royal Fremantle Golf Club,
yep.
Just give our listeners those details again with your meetings.
Yeah, we meet on a Wednesday night, starting at between 6 and 6.30 for fellowship. If you rock up, we'll certainly welcome you along.
Right.
And in our club, it's a very minimal fee to be a member. We raise a little bit of money for the membership fee.
Yep.
And but it's not an onerous cost, so it's not much to join. And but you also get to give up what we call your ideas, because what we want are people with an idea how they'd like to see an improvement in our society.
Yeah.
So if you've got an idea that you want to promote, then the one that I'm promoting at the moment is Music in the Air,
right,
which is going to be held on the 31st of August down at the Mount Pleasant College Auditorium, which is at 497 Marmion Street.
Right.
And we've got the Southside Symphony Orchestra.
They're well known, yeah.
Very well known. They've got it. They went from about 30 or 40 members, they're now up to about 150
right.
people who play, and these are professional you yes. know, musicians. And there'll be music from The Merry Widow, Les Miserables, and it's the sort of music that I say to people, if you've ever got the time to have a listen to Andre Bocelli and Sarah Brightman yes. sing Time to Say Goodbye,
yes.
if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye...
Absolutely, you're not breathing.
You're not breathing, because that's the most beautiful music.
Of course it is.
And these are the sort of things that you'll hear on the night.
So what's the date and the details with that?
That's the Music in the Air is on Saturday, the 31st of August, commencing at 7 p.m.
Right.
And it's at the Mount Pleasant College Auditorium, which is at 497 Marmion Street, just up the road,
yep.
In Booragoon.
Mick, we'll keep those details here.
Yep.
I invite people, regular listeners to us, know our number, 9364988. Greg's now outside. Greg's looking after the phones for us. So if you can give those details, if you would,
I would,
to Greg.
Yeah.
And folks, if you'd like to give us a call here, you know, at any time, we'd be happy to pass on the information. We're a community radio station. There's 95 of us, the last time I checked, that contribute to provide the output that people hear each week, and we all give of our time.
Well, that's fantastic. If you go on, if you go on to trybooking.com, you can you can see the details as well.
There.
And you can buy your tickets if you're a concession, if you're a senior.
Right.
It's 35. If you're one of us normal still working plebs, then it's then it's 40.
Yeah.
And there's group discounts if there's right. more, if you can bring along a whole heap of it.
So we're quite happy for people to to give us a call. Volunteerism is a major part of our society.
Well, it is, and as we get older, we realise that. It's a more important part, because when you're young, you're working, you've got your kids, your family, you're trying to get everything together. But when you get to in your 60s and 70s, you think, well, what do I do now? The kids are sort of all grown up and gone.
Yeah.
You've got your grandkids.
Yeah.
We keep telling our grandkids to get busy and give us some great grandkids, but they haven't got to that stage.
I think the thing that we all forget when we get to our age is that we've got a life of experience.
We've got a life of experience, and we've also still got something to contribute.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have got that little desire to give back.
Right.
We don't quite know how to do it.
Yeah.
And Rotary gives you that opportunity.
Right. So, again, those details, 9364988. Give us a call here. We can pass those details along. And if you don't mind, I might even get our people to pass on your phone number if people want
my
to speak
pleasure.
To you directly.
My pleasure. Yeah, just give me a call anytime.
All right. Now, just before I go, and I haven't touched on it deliberately, but you are the Donners of East Fremantle Football Club.
One of them. There were two. Eddie was my cousin.
Yeah.
And Eddie played 160 games, and I only played about 32 or 37
during the week.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned about Stammers and all that sort of stuff. I'm a Palmyra boy.
Well, Stammers was an institution.
Of course it was.
And everybody knew Stammers. And and they actually, I remember my dad was a wharfie, he was a lumper.
Right.
And they had a strike on, and Stammers supported a lot of families in that time.
Right.
And so they were renowned around the Fremantle area and around the Palmyra area.
Well, I'm sure that people get along to your meetings. You get together at the golf club.
Yep.
I'm sure you'd be happy to talk East Fremantle football with them as well.
More than happy.
More than
now I'm a Dockers fan.
Well, so am I. It goes with the territory.
It does. It certainly
known
does.
Known here, the East Fremantle football club they're known as my Sharky boys.
I just love it when they have a win, and now they've climbed up the ladder a bit. Yeah. It's all good.
Still a bit fragile, but that's a conversation for
another day.
Appreciate you giving up your time on this Saturday
morning. My pleasure.
just do a fantastic job, Rotary, just so one of so many organisations that look after our community. And we certainly encourage all of our listeners. Hopefully you've got some information from this morning, folks, that you that you'll be able to take away. And as I say, give us a call here. We'd be happy to pass on any details to you.
Very well. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Mick.